Antony and Cleopatra by William Shakespeare. Introduced by Richard Eyre.
Antony and Cleopatra is Shakespeare's most luxuriant tragedy. The action sprawls around the Mediterranean as it gives historical form to the mythical encounter between Venus, the god of love, and Mars, the god of war. The play is structured upon a series of oppositions: female and male, desire and duty, age and youth, and above all, Egypt and Rome. "Nay, but this dotage of our general o'erflows the measure," says a Roman soldier in the very opening line. Mark Antony does indeed dote on Cleopatra. From the Roman point of view, it's a monstrous embarrassment that one of the three men who rule their great empire should be disporting himself like an infatuated teenager. Perhaps he's indeed entering his dotage, approaching the second childhood of old age. But from the Egyptian point of view, the power of desire is something that transcends the petty world of tribal politics. The love of Antony and Cleopatra does find out new heaven, new earth. Just as the opening line of the play overflows into the next, so the liquid imagery of Egypt, with the River Nile at its heart, overcomes the measured rigidity of Rome. At the end of the drama, that rigidity prevails, and young Octavius Caesar is left in sole charge of the empire. But all the poetry of the play has been inspired by the Egyptian side. From Aenobarbus' entranced memory of Cleopatra's barge to her final enrobing for the serpent's kiss of death, the language which Cleopatra inspires works its powerful magic upon the listener. Theatre's power to create illusion is of a piece with Cleopatra's seductive arts.